The following audio is a Sunday sermon from Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Para Vista, South Australia. For more information about the church, please go to paravista.org.au.
Tonight's message, Finding Your Missing Piece. I have a confession to make. Year after year, as it gets closer to Christmas, I find myself each year getting a little bit unravelled, a little bit overwhelmed. And probably a bit more like the Christmas Grinch than like Jesus. Does anybody relate to that? I mean, these skits we had up here are just illustrations of how challenging this season can be for us, eh? There's a zillion things to do. Trying to keep people happy. Getting everything just perfect for Christmas. And I wonder, how come each year it seems to get harder and harder and harder? You know, the benchmark keeps going up, it never goes down or gets simpler. And then when things don't go the way we want them to, blocked goals lead to frustration, which leads to anger, and we lash out at the people we claim to love the most. We may experience some relationship conflicts at this time of the year. And for some people, as they think about catching up with family, they're going, oh no, I've got to go and be with these people I can't even stand, I don't even like. Or I've got to be with these people that I find difficult or even intimidating, unsafe. For some of you, this is the first Christmas you're entering after the loss of a significant loved one. Or maybe the second or third or fourth or even the fifth or more Christmases. And each Christmas has a sense of, it'd be really good if he or she was here with me now. And that journey of grief, it just goes on and on and on. A lot of people find just the consumerism and commercialism and the self-indulgence does not bring them lasting satisfaction. And when Christmas is all done and dusted, they go, is that as good as it gets? Surely there's got to be more to life than that. With all the hype and expectations and demands of Christmas, we can find ourselves weary in body, muddled in mind, anxious of heart, and our souls barren and empty. I'm sure this wasn't what God had in mind when he sent his Son to us. You see, in here, in our heart and soul, we yearn for more than presents, more than activities, more than gluttony. What we yearn for here is a deep, abiding peace. Yeah? Peace. Where do I find my missing peace? It's human spirit. We're all the same. We all want some peace. 700 years before Jesus was born, Isaiah the prophet tells us about a descendant of David. To us, a child is born, to us, a son is given, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. This word, Prince of Peace, we're just going to unpack that a little bit. In Hebrew, it's Sar Shalom. Can you say that? Sar Shalom. Sar, the word for prince. A prince is someone who will often go on to become a king, yes? But the word for prince can also mean the chief, the ruler, the general. An example of some Roman Sars or Caesars: Augustus Caesar, Julius Caesar. You've heard of the Russian Tsars or the Tsar of Iran. Some of these guys would conquer other peoples through brute strength and military force. Just bulldoze over them. Friends, the person Isaiah is talking about is not like that. He is a prince of peace. Which brings us to the second word, shalom. Very hard to translate into English. It's not just the absence of war. Shalom is wholeness. Shalom is all the parts of life integrating together and operating in harmony, bringing us into a place of safety, a place of rest and tranquility. where we experience peace across the board. Shalom, it's being rightly in a right relationship with God and the people around us. Shalom is meaningful work and time to play. Shalom is life to the full under the blessing of God. Shalom is what God created us for in the first place. And the goal of God's restoration plan for humanity and creation is to re-establish shalom. Another word I think is related to this is salvation. Safe from all threat and fears and dangers, and safe in God's arms forever. Wow. Sounds too good to be true, doesn't it? Where on earth can we meet this Prince of Peace? The angel tells us, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Promised One, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests." How is Jesus our Prince of Peace? Three ways. Firstly, Jesus' birth is surely God coming to us in peace. You see, the miracle of Christmas is the Creator God Almighty wraps himself up in our humanity and comes to visit us as a baby. Isn't that amazing? Of all the ways God could come, he doesn't come in a way that's going to scare us spitless. But he comes in such lowliness, such poverty, such humility that every single person can have access to him, can embrace him, can receive him. Luther says something like, "It must be a very serious situation, and God must love us very much when God not only loves me but becomes so close to me, he becomes a person with me." In Jesus, God knows what it's like to walk in our shoes, to experience our hardships and trials and temptations, and so he can empathize with us. In Jesus, God comes alongside us as our friend. Friend. Not conqueror. Friend. That's got to be great news of joy, because no longer do we need to be puzzled about who God is or what God is like or how he feels towards us, because he comes in peace and he comes to do us good. Which brings us to the second thing. In Jesus' ministry, we see God's peace plan in action. When you read or listen to the news, you can see there are a myriad of ways that we human beings can get bent out of shape, yeah? I mean, natural disasters happen in a broken world. Fires, floods, famines. We see people making choices to hurt other people, whether it's office room gossip or random acts of terror. People can hurt other people. And sometimes we get bent out of shape as a consequence of our selfish desires and our wrong decisions. We are broken people living in a broken world, yes? Broken people. In time, sickness, disease, accidents, loss, and death come to us all. And God, seeing that, his heart goes out to us and breaks for us. And so God has a restoration plan to restore and get everything right again. And we see that clearly in the ministry of Jesus, what that looks like. At every turn, Jesus turns messing into blessing. A conquering general leaves a trail of destruction. Jesus leaves a trail of wholeness. You know, the blind see, the deaf hear. Lepers are cleansed, the demonized are delivered, the dead are raised to life and returned to their families, and good news is preached to the poor. Now Jesus is the Prince of Peace who brings shalom to broken and hurting people. And in Jesus, we see that God's restoration plan is unfolding before our eyes. His desire is to make humanity and creation whole again, to give us and bring us into his shalom. Well, then the question is, well, how on earth do we get a piece of that peace? how do we get in onto what Jesus brings? Well, there's a couple of things that need to happen. Our mess-ups and failures need to be dealt with. Death needs to be conquered. Jesus does this for us through his death and resurrection. That's the third point. Jesus' death and resurrection brings us peace with God. The angel said to Joseph, you are to give him the name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. Friends, peace always comes at a cost, because whatever gets in between us and separates us, that conflict has got to be dealt with. And Jesus does that between us and God. The baby laid in the manger will one day lay down his perfect life to bear the blame for all our mess ups and failures, so we can be forgiven, so whatever separates us from God would be taken away and we could be reconciled and at peace with God. The baby who is wrapped in strips of cloth in the manger, one day some friends will take his body down from the cross and wrap his body in a linen shroud and lay his body in a stone cold tomb. But the third day, Peter goes into the tomb and the grave clothes are empty. The shroud of death could not hold the author of life, which opens up an eternity of peace, shalom, for you and for me. Jesus' resurrection is a pledge of God's promise. One day, I'm going to set everything right again. And God's promise to you and me is that we can be part of that. Friends, peace is God's gift to you in Jesus. He's not a brutal general. He's not going to make you take it. The way of Jesus is always a promise and an offer, an invitation. If you want God's peace, then receive Jesus and all he has done for you. You don't have to clean up your act first. You don't have to impress God. You don't have to earn his favor. You can rest in his peace. Soak in his peace. Let his peace fill you, flood you, and spill from you onto the people around you. Allow Jesus to keep doing his work of restoration of you, putting together and healing all the things that are broken, until he finally completes that work when he brings you into his perfect and permanent peace plan, a place for you with him and his people in heaven. Jesus, he is the Prince of Peace. Surely Jesus is our missing peace. May you know the peace of Jesus in all your hurts and all your hassles, in all your heartaches. And may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds and your lives in Jesus. And the people of God said, Amen.